This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The 1998 Nobel Prize for Economics went to an Indian economist named Amartya Sen for his work in welfare economics, famines and social poverty and social choice theory. And about 10 years after he got the prize, we had him on the program smack in the middle of a financial crisis to talk about the impact of that crisis on the developing world and more vulnerable economies. So when I heard he's got a new memoir coming out, I decided I wanted to get him on a Zoom, so we did that from Harvard last week, where he's a professor of economics and philosophy.
You don't mind my sipping coffee?
I don't mind anything you want to do, sir, whatever you want to do.
All right.
As you can hear, he is not a young man anymore, Amartya Sen, born in 1933 in British-ruled India, and he can be tricky to understand, but the stories he tells and the perspectives he offers in his new book, it's called Home in the World, are worth some time. So I started with the time after he'd won the Nobel Prize, when the Nobel Foundation asked him for some memorabilia for their museum, and he gave them the bicycle that he used riding around India doing his research.
You know, the bike was a companion of mine from the age of about 12 or 13, I would imagine. In fact, the bike is slightly less tall than standard bike. I can stand with my two legs touching ground. And I used that for almost everything. And then when I did some research, maybe 10, 15 miles out of Shantiniketan where I was staying, I would use the bike. So it was a source of great support for me. And when the Nobel people wondered what I could give them, if you look at the way they presented my work, quite a lot of it was rather mathematical and rather technical. And so I wanted to give something which was more day-to-day. I combined it with an old Sanskrit mathematics book from 499 AD. So it seemed like a good combination. So I give it to them. And then the moment they got the bike, they put it way up towards the ceiling. And it's the most prominent object as you enter. And I was quite struck when I went and saw this huge object, which used to be the closest thing to me, hanging from the ceiling.
You are known, well, you're known for a lot of things, honestly, sir, but one of them is your work on hunger and famine and inequality, both gender and class. And I wonder if you could share with us how that became for you a field of interest.
Well, I was a small boy, about 10-year-old at the time of the Bengal famine, in which between 2 and 3 million people died. And they died in front of me, as it were, because there was no relief arranged by the government. This was British Raj. But there was some rumor that in Calcutta they were feeding by private benefactors. So there were streams of people going to Calcutta hoping to catch a little bit of a meal. But I, at that time, wasn't clear to me why this famine was occurring, because the government went on saying that the amount of food that was available was more than enough to feed everyone, which is indeed the case. On the other hand, it was one of the simplest economic lessons about demand and supply. So while the supply didn't go down, the demand went up. This was the wartime. Prices rose. And those whose income didn't go up had to starve because they couldn't afford it.
You are, 88 this year, right?
I am, yeah.
and you are speaking here of events that happened literally a lifetime ago. And yet this book ends with you at give or take 30 years old. And it doesn't include your economic glory, as it were, and the reputation you've had since then. And I wonder why you stopped a third of the way through.
The book begins with my being a child in Dhaka. But then I went to college in Calcutta and then to Cambridge. And then eventually I thought that Cambridge economics didn't really suit me very well.
don't tell Cambridge.
Yeah, I have to be silent there. But I wanted to go home and also wanted to have my own student. So that was quite an important thing for me. I went to Delhi, became a teacher, and had brilliant students. And I was beginning a different life. And it was always very exciting. And I thought that was a good moment to take a breath and write the book, which is what I did.
Let me ask you to step back for a minute from your life and your work and look around economics today.
Yes.
And I ask you to do that because, you know, you've demonstrated in your writing a wide range of interests beyond economics. But do you suppose economics is doing what you believe it ought to do in the policy discussions of this day? I mean, I know you're up on the news and I know you follow this stuff. How is your profession doing today, do you think?
There was a time when it was doing much worse, that the subject became very technical, too technical in many ways. I don't dislike technicalities, and indeed, I've always studied economics along with mathematics. As I look at work today, some of them are very good, very useful, others are social, and some is actually showing a different thing, a prowess rather than an ability to solve problems that are really important. So there is a mixture, but by and large, I'm less unhappy than I was earlier.
Less unhappy is not a bad way to leave things. Amartya Sen, his most recent book, of the many he's written in his long, long life, is called Home in the World. Dr. Sen, thank you for your time, sir. I do appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you very much.